All right, we are here. We are Galexis, and welcome. Before we begin discussing the information of the evening, the topic, we would like to just remind you that we, on every one of these events, we put up a vortex of spinning energy around you. Vortices have two major, actually there are several minor functions, but we use them in two major ways. First of all, in various processes, in any time during this evening, that while you are listening to this recording or in live, that you decide to let go of something by your intention to let go of something you don't want. Maybe it's a limiting belief or feeling or whatever. Simply let yourself do a little exhale, imagine it going out of you, and just let it come. It will just lift up. The center of the vortex is you, right? So it feels still. You don't feel the spin in the center. It's like the eye of the storm, right? So it just lifts up right through the center and then phew, goes on out, and it's transmuted into light. The second use of a vortex is to broadcast your intention to the world. Very few people really use them this way. So what you can do is that if there's something that you want the whole world to get, something that you desire to manifest, simply by your intention as a manifestation, you want it to be completely drenched in your reality. So that anywhere you turn, anywhere you go, no matter what choices you make, you're going to be heading towards this particular manifestation that you desire. The manifestation can be physical, but it can also be emotional, mental. It could be a freedom that you would desire. It can be an intangible. And so you do the same thing. You would do an exhale with your intention of bringing this into your whole reality and stamping your whole reality with your choice. And you can let it go. Let it up, and it'll spin out there and just go everywhere. It'll spin out in all directions, spiraling out until the whole planet is informed of your choice. If you want to anchor in a personal choice, you use that second usage of the vortex. All right. So our topic is temperament. Living according to your temperament. Now, there is a tremendous difference, not in degree so much, but in nuance between each individual. You've heard it said that you're like snowflakes, no two are alike. But you do share a lot of traits in common simply by the fact that you're human, and that all human beings are organized accordingly, energy-wise, to certain structures. These are called, common structures are called the collective. And you live in a society, in a world, in which there's a tremendous amount of the collective. This is what you and other humans have in common around the world. This is what enables you to build societies, to communicate with each other, to have a sense of connection or disconnection with your world and with the people and with your culture. And so in the collective, there are certain, what you might say, basic modes of energy, basic modes of flow. Now, flow is a concept about energy. When you are living your life open, free, loving, empowered, when you're actually in your life, moving in your life, you're present, you're radiating your presence, you're allowing the energy of the divine to come into you. You're allowing the energy of Mother Earth from beneath now to come into you. These energies coming into you fuel you. You're allowing your kundalini, the serpent energy coiled normally and dormant at the base of your spine at your coccyx. The kundalini actually is always on, sending a little energy up. Not so much that you would have a spiritual transcendent experience, but it normally sends a little stream up. When you have energy coming from the earth, energy coming from the spiritual realms, which you generally perceive as coming down from above and into your crown chakra, they generally move and cross, going different directions, up and down, to simultaneously through the channel of your spinal column, from the top of your head to the coccyx. This is the central energy channel. If your chakras, the seven chakras, are open and fairly flowing, and you can get energy going up and down through there, you are in flow. You will feel it in your life because things are happening. Things are moving. They can move very elegantly, very gracefully. You can go to a store and everything you want is there. And there could be a little magic that you don't find something right away, and right then a salesperson comes, "Oh, yes, we have those. They just arrived in the back. I'll get one for you." Those kinds of little magical synchronicities just pop in. They're natural to you. When you are in your flow, you feel that you're moving somewhere. You feel you're going forward. Now, that is an intangible. There's no necessary measurement. It's not in feet or miles. That moving forward is a sense of making progress in your life. It's not even necessarily progress towards a goal either. It's just a sense of movement, that you're not static, that you're not stuck, that you are moving forward. You are in flow. If feeling in flow is really good. It's a wonderful feeling. Every time you listen to us in these love and healing evenings and in this subscription to success, we essentially open up your flow to allow you to receive the divine energy into you, for you to allow you to move it into your life so that you can have a seamless, flowing, elegant, easy kind of life experience. That the magic of your life will line up for you. All those little ducks will line up in a row just for you, because it's natural to people who are in a flow. If you have a resistance, if you have a negative reaction, if you have an issue, it can create a blockage, and that blockage will show up in one or more of your chakras or energy centers in your body, of your own internal vortices, each chakra being a vortex. If you have severe blocks in any of your chakras, you're not going to be able to be in flow. If for some reason you were shamed, hurt, damaged emotionally, and to such an extent that you had to shut down, that you withdrew from life, that you closed off, you armored yourself to keep yourself from being hurt, humiliated, to keep yourself safe from pain, as you tried to control your reality, when you do that, you shut down and destroy your flow. You get what is called stuck. And that is why people go to coaches, counselors, therapists. Sometimes people come to and talk to us about things like that, to break open, to free themselves of these blockages, so that the flow can be restored, so they can move forward in their lives in a beautiful way. The reason we talk about flow is because it is the way. And everyone has their own way of utilizing their flow, their own way of utilizing energy. And there are four basic primal ways of using energy. See, there's some people who are very gregarious. They have a lot of initiative. They like to do stuff. They may not want to do much follow through. But they're all excited and they are enthusiastic and they can get into things and they can, you know, start things and so on. Not that they necessarily want to finish them, really. They just love the initiation energy. They just love ideas and jumping into things, and they love people. They love to do things with people, to socialize and that type of thing. And they have ongoing conversations with people. Some of you have this, where you meet somebody and it's just like you pick up right where you left off and continue your conversation. These people are generally comfortable anywhere in the world. They've got good social skills generally. This is, in tradition, is called the sanguine temperament. Now, this is taken from the old theories of the Greeks. It's an ancient idea. If you know astrology, you know that in astrology there are basically four elements, just as if you are doing anything having to do with Native American rituals, or if you are working in any kind of shamanic tradition, you're going to work with those four elements, earth, fire, air, and water, right? And those have certain qualities. In astrology, you have, for example, earth signs, zodiac signs that are earth-oriented. The earth zodiac signs are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. You have air signs. The air signs in astrology are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. You know, when you ask, oh, what's your sun sign? You know, you may be an air sign. Does it mean you're an airhead? Well, you don't know. It depends on your way you utilize your energy flow. Then there are water signs. Water signs are Cancer. Let's see, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And then there are fire signs. Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Sanguine tends to be a little bit more of the fire energy. Fire energy is effusive. Energy comes out of you. There's more energy coming out that's moving out of you. It's projecting. It's moving out of you. Fire is crackling. It's breathing the air. In order for a fire to burn, you've got to have air. And so it's just pulling in the air and just inspiration, activation, fire, energy. The sanguine personality is not just fire, though, because also in astrology, there are what are called three dynamics. There are four elements and three dynamics. As we notice in the four elements, there are three zodiac signs of each element, but each one of those zodiac signs has a different dynamic. The first dynamic is cardinal. That is a dynamic towards initiation, activation and initiation. Cardinal people do not hesitate. They jump out of their seat ready to go. All right, let's go. Let's do it. Fixed, another dynamic. Fixed are people who really like things steady. Steady. Almost in a sense, they like ritual. They like things predictable. They don't like surprises too much. They like a sense of development. And they are the people who can take time to develop something, to build things, to build ideas, to build businesses, to build or construct furniture, whatever. There's a sense of wanting to build, put things together. And then there is mutable. Mutable is the chatty one. It's all kind of mental, communicative, connecting, communicate. Now, you have all four elements in some way or shape or form in your energy field represented. And certain unique balance to you. You also because of the zodiac signs that you access or chose to have as part of your natal astrology picture at the time of your birth. You also have those signs that are also have their dynamics. And so you have a unique assortment of dynamics. Sanguine, a traditional one, is somewhat like mutable fire, which translates, astrologically speaking, to Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the traveler. It's the person who's comfortable anywhere they are on the planet with anybody and up for adventure. They may not have a lot of follow-through. They may not have a lot of sustain. But they certainly know how to talk to people and meet people and initiate interesting, adventurous projects. Ideas. All right. The second of the traditional temperaments is called choleric. See, sanguine seems to be kind of upbeat and, happy camper type of thing. That's the persona. But the choleric is very focused. If you look at your brain chemistry, that's dopamine. In brain chemistry terms, dopamine is your focus neurotransmitter. If you don't have enough dopamine, you cannot focus. You're scattered. The people that are choleric are very focused. They apply themselves. They like to kind of push themselves, push and drive, that type of thing. They like to initiate projects, and then they are just stay on focus and push and drive through. So you can see there's two different types of energy here. The sanguine has to do with just kind of like, little bubbles, little cycles, short cycles. But the choleric is a big cycle, just driving through there. Two different ways of using your energy. Two different ways of enjoying your life. Some of you don't like to stay on focus. Some of you absolutely adore it. You get high as a kite when you're in a focus. You get passionate about it. Oh gosh, I gotta do it. I gotta go for it. Yeah, yeah. So the choleric is in focus, and that is Earth. Earth wants to make something tangible, needs to move energy into the physical. Choleric people can exercise, love it. They'll run, they'll go to the gym, they just love it. They love feeling their body. They love driving their energy. The Earth, but their cardinal Earth, lots of initiative. And the Earth, the focus. They have some of the fixed in there too, but as a secondary factor. The third temperament is called melancholic. Now, this doesn't mean that you're melancholy if you're melancholic. The words have come under some kind of change over time. The melancholic temperament, however, is someone who's very internal. Their internal life is more colorful and rich sometimes than their external life. They're very creative. They can be self-obsessed. They can be into themselves a lot. You find a lot of these people in the spiritual movement. People who do a lot of personal processes, a lot of personal development and self-growth type of things. But they also have a tremendous amount of, if you can get their attention out of themselves, they can have a lot of love and compassion and gifts of healing They know, they do have a certain instinct about how to move energy. We would say that this kind of tendency to be internal, to pull inside yourself, hermits, you know, the loners, or people who just get into a relationship and they just stay really focused there and just stay with that and just do their thing. They don't need to go out to any parties. They don't like the big bright lights of the city. Very many of them like to be, to a certain extent, detached from the world. Some of them just meditate a lot. The melancholic temperament is more water. It has more to do with the emotional depths. It has to do a lot with water fixed, because it goes down deep in there and just hangs out deep. You're deep if you're melancholic. You have to, when you want to make a decision, you have to go deep to figure it out. You can't just go, okay, yeah, let's do that. That's not a melancholic. That much more likely, if it's a short-term project, be totally enthusiastically endorsed by the sanguine. Or if it's a project that's close to the heart and dear to the passion of the choleric, they'll go for it right away. But the melancholic likes to just hang out there in the depths, go down, feel the depths. They seek a peace, inner peace down there. They may not always find it because, of course, as you know, growing up is very hazardous. And you have to encounter a tremendous range and variety of emotional challenges. The fourth temperament of the traditional temperaments is called phlegmatic. Phlegmatic people are more air. They are more detached. But they're very pleasant. They don't withdraw from the world particularly. They're right there, but they don't seem to be completely present. They're right there with you, and you'll have a conversation with them, and you wonder, well, you know, are they fully at home? Are they fully here? Because they're thinking all the time. There's always something going on. They're always evaluating. So there's always some distractions going on in their mind or whatever. And they're very pleasant. They're very responsive. They do their stuff. They work well in society. They hold jobs, and they, you know, they're very responsible. They follow through on stuff. They're very logical. They're very rational. They don't like being emotional at all. That feels very uncomfortable to them and pretty out of control. They really like things that have more order to them. And they move along at a pace. But these, the phlegmatic, can be armored too. But it's mostly in the form of mental detachment. Oh yes, a melancholic can have mental detachment, but generally they have a lot of emotional armoring. There's a lot, emotion is more important to the melancholic. That's why they're poets and creatives, musicians. Whereas the phlegmatic generally tends to be in kind of traditional jobs and doesn't seem to have excessive amounts of creativity. Doesn't seem to have that passion and zeal of the choleric. Doesn't seem to have that enthusiasm of the sanguine. Things are just nice on an even keel, just, you know, floating along, ambling along. This is air. And it's more air fixed. It's a sense of just, let's get life in order and just, we'll just have a nice routine, and we'll just, every day is just going to be a nice day, and decisions they think are made logically. No decisions really are made logically. No choices are really truly made logically. But the phlegmatic can analyze their choices and their decisions so well that they can explain them in such logical terms. Who can resist? They're so reasonable. They hold lots of places of power in your culture. The phlegmatic people are very often in banking and in places with a lot of control, a lot of power. If there's a certain mixture, you can have mixtures of the phlegmatic and the sanguine. You make a really good politician because you've got the joy of meeting people and so on and so on, but you like the lofty heights of power. The phlegmatic, though, would like something a little more stable than politics. They'll go for stable jobs, stable situations. And that feels good. These are the four basic temperaments. Now, there are some downsides to it. The Greeks didn't explain them in terms of energy flow. But these are four distinct ways of using your energy. Sanguine, as we said, short waves, bubbles, just spouting, spewing, woof, blah, all right, okay, cycles around, just lots of energy. And then it's quickly over. Comes out, it's over. How do you sustain? Well, you got to keep getting interested, got to keep getting reactivated, got to keep getting re-excited, got to have a good relationship with somebody to keep it going. It would be hard to do it on your own. The sanguine personality doesn't like to be a loner. They like people too much. They like partnerships. That keeps them up, keeps them interested, keeps them moving. That's an energy that are short bursts. Sometimes they're extended a little bit, but generally they peter out rather quickly and you can lose interest if you're sanguine. And from that place, you have to kind of re-interest yourself, re-engage yourself, re-energize yourself so that you can have that burst again. And some people go through their lives with these little bursts. If you have this, you've got to be able to have a variety of things that you do during your day. A desk job is not for you. You'll fall asleep by the third hour. You can't take it. It's too the same. You've got to have variety. You've got to get up and move around. You've got to shift and change during your day. So we would say that probably the sanguine, for that reason, shows a lot of entrepreneurialness, self-employed people. Because a self-employed person doesn't have to stay in total focus, of course, unless they have an issue and they drive themselves with the slave driver too much. But overall, they can do a little bit of this, then they do a little of that, then they do a little of that. Perfect thing for a sanguine is to have maybe two part-time jobs. And a chance to get out and walk around or socialize. So if you're sanguine, you need to have people in your life. You need to have change going on. You don't need as much control as others. Because some surprises and adventures are worth it. You're always curious about the future, very much future-oriented, interested in people. You like stories. You like to hear the stories. After a good story, you like a break. Creative people who are sanguine have a tendency to do projects. Now, how many creative people do you know that can sustain their creativity? Not that many. There are writers who, for example, every day they get up and they write for 4 to 6 hours every day. But those are not sanguines. Sanguines will get into a project and yes, maybe the project lasts 2 or 3 months and they'll give it all they got as long as they have some passion for it and enthusiasm for it. It's like putting together a movie. It's a project. You get into it, you work it, you're there 24/7, it's your life, it's your life, it's your life, and then it's, you know, it's a wrap, and then there's a break, and then you rest, and you don't even think about it. It's over, it's done. And you rest and you relax and let yourself drift and just let yourself kind of relax about it and so on. And at some point you kind of get, oh, another inspiration. No, that's not it. You rest a while, da-da, and you do a little of this and you do a little of that and you do a little of this. And all of a sudden, then it catches. Then a fire catches. Another project. And you go to it. That temperament can be done on a day-to-day basis if but not consistently. This temperament is not consistent. Do not expect this person to do the same thing every day. They cannot do it. They absolutely cannot. It kills them. It destroys them. And they like to have about 3 or 4 different sources of income or different activities that they do. They can be quite busy with their after-hours activities. If you are a choleric person, you are closer to what is considered the workaholic personality, closer to the type A, because you have a tremendous amount of focus and you have persistence and drive to that focus. And it's exciting for you to get into a flow that really is high. High energy flow. Just, whoa, high energy flow. Let's get into this and let's go, 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 go. And if your energies are open, if your chakras are relatively open, if you're enjoying what you're doing, if you're fascinated by it, if you're willing to go for it, you can have phenomenal health at the same time you're working way, way too many hours in the views of other people. But you love it, nevertheless. It works for you. That's a driving kind of thing. And if you get the slave driver out of you, and you're a choleric, you can really get so much done. You can be so effective, so efficient. And you can have so much fun and have such a full life. Traveling, doing this, doing that, meeting with people, having meetings here and there. You know, on the phone, going there, going there, but staying on track, getting more done, getting such stuff done, wrapping stuff up, staying. And the thing about it is that the choleric can remember stuff, you know, can remember this piece and that piece and get them together and put them all together into that flow. And indeed, when you're in that flow, no matter what temperament you are, you are so high. It is so extraordinary to be there. Now, because you're focused, you choleric people, because you're focused and you're driving, if you come up to a wall and hit a wall, you hit it harder than anybody else. You know, with the more velocity you have and the more impact you make. So when you hit a wall, you really can hit hard. You can be crashed easily if you actually find a wall. You have to stay open. If you're a choleric, if you hit a wall, you go immediately into anger and frustration. You're very impatient. You do not have much ability to wait. You don't have much ability to pause and to process deeply. You got to keep going. That's your MO. And so that's why the cholerics have a reputation for a temper. They don't tolerate blockages easily. They are high energy flow people. They can't stand blockages. If you are a melancholic, you would be quite content if you had a good full bank account to not see anybody for months at a time. Or just the people closest to you that you like, you know. And you like just to kind of be in your space, down inside yourself, thinking about what you want to do today. Unfortunately, of course, there are a lot of people who have to work and have to engage with society, even though they may not find it that attractive or fun. But the melancholic person always has some little inspirations, little projects in the back of their mind. There's always ideas about what's going on, what they want to do next, what they want to explore, what they want to learn about. They're very curious. But their energies are very much internal. In other words, instead of having energies projecting, they are energies of receiving. That's why they can be very attuned. That's why they can be very creative. They get creative inspiration. That's why they can be psychic. That's why they are musicians, because it's an energy of receiving. And their gift is that they can receive, unless, of course, they are stuck into a kind of martyr fixation, or they have a lot of shame and a lot of pain and a lot of issues. And then what they receive is a lot of junk. You've all known about the energy healers who, when they work on other people, they pick up the condition onto themselves. In the old days, the healer took the condition on him or herself and worked it through his or her body. That's not really what's required anymore. That was part of an old tradition of empathy. But the empath of today can just get dumped on from the whole collective, because they're receivers. They just receive everything. Sometimes they don't filter it too well. One of the things that we do in our discussions here is to help people filter out what they receive and then to project out what they desire, so that what they desire is stronger than the crap that they might inadvertently receive. So the melancholics, and you know, it doesn't necessarily mean if you're a melancholic that you're a melancholy. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily sad. It means that you're quiet and reserved, though. Your basic temperament is quiet and reserved. What do you do with your energy? It comes in, it goes 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 in. You're not projecting very well. The few who do really project well become very renowned for their gifts, very appreciated for their gifts. But it's very hard for a melancholic to be outgoing. They tend to be more sensitive, take things a little bit more personally if people look at them funny. A lot of fringe types are melancholics, because they see on dimensions perhaps greater than most people. But that means they also receive more junk from more places than most people. Now, of course, it depends on the degree. But the energy flow is going inward. There's a tendency for melancholics to have partially shut down chakras because when they're filled with energy, very often they're afraid to get out there in the world and demonstrate it, to allow it to come through. There's that reserved aspect is often one of trying to protect the self. There's always an element of self-protection involved. The healing for the melancholic is to stop looking at what you can get, what you can get, what you can get, and to look at receiving as something that's natural, and look at what it is that you really want to receive. And set your filter so you don't receive all sorts of crap. And the way you set your filter is by giving, by projecting, by sending energy out. And that way you open up your chakras, and then you have a flow. Now, the melancholic's flow cannot be as dynamic as a choleric. If you got into one of those really intense driving places and the energy's way, 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 and you're a melancholic, you're going to burn out. And it happens. It's just too much. It just fries you. If you get into a flow, you've got to have a nice, gentle flow. The flow will be erratic, it will not be steady, but it will be gentle. And in your receiving, you will receive a lot of information, a lot of awareness, a lot of knowledge to share, a lot of creative inspiration that you can share. And and melancholics are beautiful at sharing once they get oriented and aligned to that. Now we come to the phlegmatic, which is steady. So you know how the intense steady of the choleric, the phlegmatic is steady, but gentle, calm, calm steady, rational steady, logical steady, linearly, step by step steady. Let's get it steady. The fire, beautiful fire of the sanguine is intense surges. The expression of the melancholic is gentle surges, gentle waves, gentle creative waves. The creatives have to do it in waves. They cannot do anything steady. If you are a phlegmatic, you want your life orderly, predictable to a certain extent. You can be very afraid that things could go spiraling out of control any time. There's a lot of self-discipline as a phlegmatic, where you discipline yourself so you don't say things out of order, so you're very careful not to offend other people, where you can put on a pleasant facade at all times. But you look to where the power is so that you can get into it and stay with it and stick with it gently. Just an easy, everyday flow. It makes for steady relationships, although sometimes those relationships don't have much depth, but it's good friendships. That's why it's fixed air is similar to the astrological zodiac sign of Aquarius. Aquarians discover in their youth that love affairs don't work nearly as well as friendships. It's just very tricky to deal with the passion. You want something that has certain steadiness to it without the intense surges. Intense surges will burn out a phlegmatic. Phlegmatics are very careful, methodical. They're very aware of detail. And they'll make sure that they get things correct. If you want something done well, if you have a craftsperson who is a phlegmatic, you'll get a really high-quality job. You know, there's some kind of myth or story or belief about, you know, workmen. That they show up sometimes, they don't show up sometimes. They show up erratically, they may not finish the job, they may run off. You know, you have to keep calling them, hey, you know, when are you going to work on the job? You know, when is... Everybody has their stories about erratic work people. These are not phlegmatics. Generally, those are melancholics who just can't stand the steadiness of it. Sometimes, most often not, but sometimes they can be sanguines too. But generally they're melancholics. They really like to work out by themselves. They really can't do the same thing every day. Now the energy flow, easy goes, just trucking along, keep on trucking, just energy going. We're heading towards the goal. We're heading that way. We're on our way, you know, just keep at it, just one day at a time. Just come on, let's just go. Is another way of using energy. Phlegmatics can be fairly open with their chakras. They can have the energy come in, but they put a dampener on their second chakra, so that the kundalini, or so that the way they utilize their energy, is very restrained a bit. Of course, when they do that, when they restrain that power, they can restrain some of their creative ability too. But then they like being logical. They like brain work. They like thinking stuff. Right? So those are the four basic temperaments. Now, everyone has a primary one. The way you use your energy. Is it as intense short spurts or gentle waves? Is it driving and fast and that just makes you high as a kite? Or do you like it just kind of flowing and steady? A stream, a gentle stream. Four ways of working with energy that make you comfortable. Now, these will set you up for lifestyles that enable you to work with your energy this way. You've got to have a lifestyle that enables you to do that. And every one of you has a dominant one and a secondary one. So which one is your dominant one? You know, maybe it's the driving, and the second one is the spurts. And you'll find some variety, some rhythmic variety in your life. When you do this, you've got to make adjustments in your lifestyle so that you can accommodate your nature, your essential, gentle nature of you. And we say gentle nature because all of you have very gentle natures. But when you can get passionate, oh, you can start to sizzle, and it's just wonderful. Or you can get deep and rich into the inner world. Some people, because of their particular temperament, need to sleep in the morning. Others need to get up before dawn and be going at it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can imagine which ones those are, right? The cholerics like early morning hours. Yes! Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to go out for my walk. I'm going to jog. I'm going to whatever. It feels so good to do that. But the melancholic is like, what? What? You want me to get... I mean, I was up till 3 a.m. with this idea. There's no way I'm going to get up after 3 or 4 hours of sleep and go jogging. Oh, you got to be kidding. So you have to live your lifestyle and arrange it around the way you like to use your energy. If you can do that, you can live according to your temperament, and then you can utilize the best qualities of your temperament. You can function at the highest rate of joy and success. If you are trying really hard to be a temperament that's not you, sorry, you're not going to be successful. You're going to keep running up against problems. You're going to keep stalling out your dreams. You've got to take care of it. Some people just don't have lots of energy. The melancholic and the phlegmatic do not have lots of energy. They don't push and radiate tremendous quantities of energy in general. So they may not come across as being high energy people. Doesn't mean that they have any less physical capacity for energy. It's just that there's certain places they want to put their energy and other places they don't. And if you don't want to put your energy someplace, if you're not motivated, you can't get a lot of energy going physically for it. We've said this before, but motivation is your key to physical vitality. If you're doing what you feel motivated to do, or you have a way of getting yourself motivated that doesn't require the slave driver to come and guilt trip you or scare you into doing it, you're going to have plenty of energy. Living according to your temperament means also that your relationships, your income producing channels, the way that you give energy into your world, the way you interact with other people, all of it needs to be in alignment with what feels right to your energy flow. For example, melancholic. We talked about how melancholic takes the energy in. You can lose in a relationship, if you're a melancholic, a sense of individual identity. You may just feel like you're merging with the person that you're with. You become one. Now, that's a very high spiritual state of being, but it doesn't work too well on the day-to-day mundane level. You've got to do things for yourself, you know. But when the melancholic gets how to interact safely and flowingly with those little reaching out, pulling back, reaching out, pulling back, it's kind of like playing with life, playing with energy and just pulling it back in a positive way, you can find you can have a very beautiful life, very artistic, creative life, very loving relationships in your life. Even if you live alone, you can have a lot of love in your life. You have good friends. But you have to balance it so that you get enough rest and you have enough of your own time, your downtime. Very often sanguines don't need much downtime, and neither do cholerics. But melancholic and phlegmatics need a lot of personal downtime. They have a lot to think about and feel. Evaluate. Think about this. Or perhaps just read. Or just perhaps hang out. So what is your major temperament? And what is your minor one? Use your creative imagination. Blend the two. See what proportion they are in your life. Maybe your major one is 70% and your minor one's about 30%. Just have an intuitive hit about it. Don't get precise. It's exactly 42 to 58. Just roughly. And if you don't can't even get that close to 60-40 or something like that, you can say, well, it is more this than that. Some people like to have a little of everything, but there still will be a dominant one. And that one will be the one that kind of determines your day-to-day lifestyle and how you set yourself up for time off from your work, how you structure your work over time, how many hours you work, what kind of work program you have. Some people really thrive on working, you know, four-day weeks. And there's some people that really is just going to get up and probably going to go and work every day if they don't somehow or another make themselves do something else. But no, it's okay. Don't judge yourself for being your temperament. Back when the channel was just getting into astrology, everybody wanted to be an Aquarius. Oh, that was the high one. That was the good one. All the old-fashioned astrology books from the 19th century, and the early 20th century, Aquarius would get all the good reviews, right? And then Virgo would get all the bad reviews. And Scorpio. Oh, Scorpio would be vindictive and evil and, you know, horrible scorpion and stinging and whatever and so on. Absolutely not addressing a real authentic person born under the sign of Scorpio. And a lot of Aquarians filled with all this wonderful ego input, you know. Oh, you're just wonderful. You're just great. You're fabulous. You're a great friend to everyone. And you're a great humanitarian and da-da-da-da-da. They go around just totally lost without a vision. They'd flop from one thing to another, not knowing, what do I do now? How do I put this together? How do I make it work? The same is true with these four humors or four temperaments. There's a lot of plus for the sanguine. Oh, yeah, the sanguine, that's the one to be. Oh, that's the fun one. Oh, you don't want to be melancholic. Oh, no, that's too dreary. And so they got misinterpreted. So don't expect, if you go onto the internet or you read a book and it talks about the temperaments, or you take temperament surveys and so on, don't be surprised if you're not a sanguine that there's a lot of negative stuff said about you. Just throw it out, okay? It's just old thinking, wanting to just peg people. But all that's ended in the past 30 years. You're on a new level now. You can use this very energy very positively for you to get a lot of success for you, a lot of happiness for you. All right, we know we went a bit late, but we thought that you needed to have that in-depth look at temperament. But we're going to open it up now for questions. If anyone has any questions, just raise your hand and Daniel will hand you the mic.
Thank you, Galexis.
Yes.
Okay. I've been working with my second chakra in a new way.
Good.
And it's there was a lot of sexual trauma from the past. And in looking at it, I feel very confused, and I also feel lost, and I feel like there's no movement forward. And what I have noticed is that there's a lot of self-loathing, and I think that my daughter has been coming up, the one that I gave up for adoption, well, the only one I had, mm-hmm. and I found her about 10 years ago, and in the self-loathing, the more success I'm having, the more I feel like I'm pulling myself back and turning to drink and cigarettes, mm-hmm. and I'm sick of it, I'm tired to death of it, and I'm having, I really would like to see what is the insight behind this crap that would help me with whatever.
All right. Okay. First of all, you were trained to be judgmental.
Yes.
That was your training, all right?
Yes.
Look at your family.
Yes.
You learned it from the best, right? And you used that against yourself. When you took upon yourself in adolescence, you took upon yourself the job of developing your conscience. That's when you create your internalized parent self, right? It happens in late childhood, puberty, somewhere in that period, where you take over the job of judging you from your parents and take it onto yourself. And the idea is that if you do it on yourself, then maybe if you do it proactively, right? You'll stop them from doing it. You understand?
I sure do.
All right. But as soon as you start doing that, the part of you that has been enlisted to judge you, that internal kind of parent self, turns sour with the ego. And it compares you to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in adolescence and into young adulthood. And basically, you decided, well, I have these flaws and these faults, and I've got to whip myself into shape and get rid of them. So you put this internalized parent and ego onto the job of pointing out all your flaws. Say, hey, look, here's your another flaw. This is another weakness of yours. Here's another problem of yours. You really suck here. And how can you come out of that without some self-loathing? We would like to know. You did such a good job of judging yourself. The thing is that as long as you could numb out some way, escape somehow, or hide from that judge, from that internal incessant critic, you would get a little bit of relief from the self-loathing. That's the alcohol and the cigarettes. They numb you. They actually do things to your brain that stop you from feeling the pain of this judgment. Do you understand?
Yes.
And so therefore, it becomes a habit to go there to get yourself free. Of course, when you get into your young adult years and move from your 20s into your 30s, then you've put even another one on top of you. You put the slave driver on top of you. And the slave driver then starts pushing you to succeed. You've got to succeed. You've got to succeed. And every level of success that you are able to achieve, every new height you can reach to,